We're going to be in Colossians chapter 1 as we look at a call to know God more and to not just know of God, but to worship Him. I love the song selection this morning of there is a worship that God has created you to give. And I'd like you to think about this. You're giving it to someone. Everyone in this room is a worshiper. We all are made to know we need something greater than ourselves. And so all of us in this room are worshiping something. We're worshiping something or someone that for us is the source of life. We were made to worship. We were made to give that to God. And yet so often that gets stolen by the counterfeits and the lies and sometimes the confusion of this world that we're, everyone in this room, whether we sing well or not, we are all worshipers. And the question is, who are we giving our worship to and why is it so important? I will say, and I don't think any of us in this room need to take a lot of time looking at the world to understand that this world is very broken. Our nation, our community, ourselves, our homes. And the beauty of the Word of God and the beauty of what Jesus came to give us is this. Everything God is everything we need. Everything this world needs right now, God is. And on Wednesday, we begin this new year in worship, focusing on this passage, the one in which God revealed Himself. And I just want you to recognize this morning that everything you need in life, God is. Because He's the one who created you. And He's the one who's calling you back to who He is. Hear this passage again. God passed by Moses, declaring His name, the Lord, the Lord. I am who I am, Yahweh. I am, you can't define me. I am who I am. A God merciful and gracious. We need a lot of that right now. Slow to anger, could use a lot of that. Abounding in steadfast love. Not sure how much I see that around. And faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands. Forgiving iniquity. We could use a lot of that right now in transgressions and sin. But who will by no means clear the guilty? And it's sure we could use some justice in this world as well. Everything we need, God is. And He is much more. He is holy. The Lord, that title, that background is, it comes from when Moses met God at the burning bush. And God said, I am who I am. You're not, I'm other than you, I'm holy, I'm more than you, but you can be sure I'm here. And God wants to do that in us. And Jesus came, and when Jesus came, He said this. He said, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. We use that as a church word, but just if anything's eternal, it means it doesn't end. It has no limit. It never stops. It can always be counted on. Jesus said, look, people, you've forgotten who God is. You've started to look around and worship other things to find life, but there's only one source of unstoppable life, and that's knowing Him. And Jesus came to restore our relationship with God that we might know Him. And everything you and I need, God is. And God calls us to come and to know Him. And so we come to church. So we listen to a podcast or we hear a song and it's like, I know Him. And it's like, well, no, not quite like that. There's something a little deeper. I kind of think of my arch nemesis during the holidays. Christmas lights, right? You know, it takes me forever to untangle these things. And it's great when I get them untangled, and there's a few, the bulbs broke a little bit, so it'd be nice to do that. And once I untangle them, that's great, but the goal of Christmas lights is not to untangle them. Because they weren't made just to be untangled. They were made to be what? They're made to shine. They got to be plugged in. And sometimes we come to God like we do our Christmas lights in the first place. Like all we do is we spend time, God, untangle me. And he's like, well, that's good. And I want to untangle your life and kind of get it straight. But that's not the end. You've got to know me. You've got to be plugged into me. There's a power. There's a place for your life to shine. And I don't want to just untangle your life. I want to cause it to glow. I want to cause it to be what it is because this world's a dark place. And sometimes we only come to God and all we want him to do is untangle our life. And he's like, no, come and know me. Come and know. Well, you know, Pastor Sean, that's okay. And I hope I do that. But, you know, I've been a number of times like, okay, that's good. But guess what? There's a bunch of darkness around you. And for every day you don't learn to connect with him and let his light shine in you, you're keeping everybody else around you in darkness. Because you're the one meant to shine the light of Jesus. And if all you and I do is know God as the untangler of my life, God, just straighten out my life for me. Would you just make it all straight? Would you make sure it's not in the ground and everything looks good? It's like, yeah, but you've got to be plugged in. You got to know him, right? To know God is to be directly connected to him, not just to know of him. And it's so many of us, and it's very easy to do in the world we live in, we settle for just knowing of God. You know, it's meant to be a personal moment in the middle of worship on Sunday morning as we come before God as a people. But it's meant to be that way all the time. It's meant to be that time where I've got to give and the Lord wants to speak to us again and invite us to come and know him. Because we had some parents today who said, it matters that the light of Jesus is shining in me for the children I'm about to raise. It matters that the light of Jesus is shining in you for the coworkers that are right next to you every day. It's not enough just to untangle life. It's God, connect me. Let me enter into you and then fulfill the very words that Jesus said. You are the light of the world. And so we come to this passage in Colossians 1:9 where Paul talks about people knowing God. And I'm going to ask you in honor of God's word, if you would you just stand as I'm going to read this out loud in the ESV and you can follow. And I see all of you with your prayer first journals. If you turn to page 10, you can write notes there as we go on. But let's hold on to God's word as he speaks to us today. Starting at verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Would you pray with me? God, we are hearing your word this morning. And in the middle of so many voices of this world, would you become the only voice that counts? We ask that we would not just have a service this morning, but we would come and meet with you. And all who desire that said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Paul starts out this passage saying, I've heard about you knowing God. I heard that you are walking, that, you know, you're beginning to follow the Christian faith. But my prayer is that you'll keep knowing him. not knowing of him, but knowing him. And he says these words, and this is really important. I am asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. And that word is not just read something or know of it. It's to experience. It's to plug into it and feel the power of it begin to light up your life. That's what he's talking about. And it's really important what Paul says here, because it's going to combat a myth that in today's world, and really all through history, we've all fallen for it one time or another. And that's the idea that somehow I can go find God. Like, I just need to look for him. Now, it's good that when you're open for him, you put yourself in the right place, like church this morning, like watching online. That's a good thing. But what we need to understand is we don't go find God. God finds us. It's called the doctrine of revelation. It basically means this: only God can reveal himself to us. We don't go find him. We ask God, God, would you show, God, would you come into my life? Would you show me who? I can't find you. I can't figure out. You're bigger than me. You're more than me. You're holy. I'm sinful. You're the creator. I'm the creature. No, God, would you come and show me who you are? And so to know God, you have to do two things. One, you've got to ask God to come to you and reveal himself. Jesus said in John, I think it's 14, he said, no one knows the Father except the Son and whom the Son chooses to reveal him to. And you've just got to have a heart say, God, I'm asking you, and some of you here today, even online today, you should pray this prayer. God, would you come and reveal yourself to me? And then number two, and this is what we're going to break down with the rest of the passage before we have some worship and live it out this morning. We want to understand and accept how he comes. Because we've all got these kind of Hollywood kind of society views of these stories of God, and what, you know, that's fine. But this passage we just read actually tells us how God comes to us. And if we don't understand this, if we don't take some time to hear the word of God, because God's telling us, this is how you find me. So he's being very gracious, very direct. He's not hiding. He's telling us right here. He's written it down for us. And if we really want to find him, we can. God, would you come and reveal yourself to me? And God, would you help me understand? I want to know that right now. We're going to accomplish that right now. You know, like I said, this is the doctrine of revelation in the Bible. Really, I call it the doctrine of pick-me-up-after-school mom. Okay? I don't know. Remember when you did not have a car? Remember when you had to have mom and dad pick you up? You remember those days? Some of you are living in those days right now. God bless you. Remember when, as much as you wanted mom and dad to come and pick you up and bring you to where you needed to be, it basically was on their timetable and they were coming when they were coming? Remember that? That's this doctrine of revelation. That's like, God, I can't come to you. You've got to come and pick me up. Because I can't get to where you are, but you sure can come to me. That's this doctrine. Okay? That's the idea that this is who God is, that he's holy. And the first thing that Paul says about asking God to show you who he is he says, I'm praying that it will be through spiritual wisdom and understanding. In other words, God comes through the Spirit. Do not believe that you are not a spiritual person. You were created and God created you as a spiritual person. You have the ability to relate to who God is in the Spirit. But you and I have to make a choice to pray in order to find that. You know, we're so busy and we got a lot of voices, a lot of pats on the back, a lot of people telling us well done, or a lot of people doing the opposite in our lives. We're listening to all these voices and we're kind of like, you know, God, would you just show me what to do? But we've got to take time to pray. Because when we pray, what we do is we close ourselves off to the world and we open ourselves up to the Spirit. It's the simplest way to say it. Paul says it's spiritual wisdom. And so I want you to hear these passages. 1 Corinthians 2, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. In other words, I'm not going to understand all the beauty of everything that God has for me, no matter how good I am, no matter how many good works I have, it doesn't matter if I don't let the Spirit of God show me what only the Spirit of God can show me. And so I need to welcome him in. I need to say, God, I need to shut off the world and open up and say, Holy Spirit, come. Jesus said this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. When Jesus died on the cross, and if you take my introduction to Holy Spirit class in the beginning of this new semester, okay, we learned that it's beautiful that there's forgiveness of sins, but the cross isn't only about being forgiven of sin, it's about the beginning of the Spirit in you. That's the whole idea of born again. There's a new life in you. The Holy Spirit comes and is in you. And right now, the Holy Spirit is trying to work in your life. Right now. He's trying to reveal Jesus and help you understand what God wants to do in your life, because there are fears, there are circumstances, there are people, and there's all these other things, this crowded playing field of your heart and your mind, and it's the Holy Spirit that wants to lead you into what God has for you. And you can sit all day long and you can analysis till your paralysis on it, but unless the Holy Spirit is part of your thinking, you're going to be missing the most important piece of information for the decision you have to make. And so, when we pray, we shut out the world and we welcome in God's Spirit. The reason we gave you this Pray First journal, and we're hoping that all of you here will be part of this, is this is your opportunity to have a little bit more focus over these last 15 days. Over Christmas, we totally rearranged our schedule to welcome who? Loved ones into our lives, right? Because it was Christmas time, it was kind of a sacred time, it was a time where we adjust what we're doing for who is coming. Well, can I tell you this morning that God wants to come to us in a very new way? And just like you made some different plans and changed some things up for Christmas time, God's inviting you over these 15 days, hey, would you change up your schedule a little bit? Would you move some things around and welcome me in? Because I want to speak to you. And I know where you are and I know what you're going through. Come, let me meet with you. You'll notice on each day there's a place to check off the Bible reading. We'll talk about that in a minute. And it's got this other little checkbox called 715. And it's the whole idea that at either 7:15 a.m. or 7:15 p.m., I'm going to make an extra time where I know the rest of my church family is also praying, one of those two times, whichever one you choose. And I just want to take an extra moment of prayer there. We always talk about first 15 here. That's why it's 15 days of prayer, 7:15. It's like 7 days a week, 15 minutes, first 15. Like, we want to be a part of that. And you'll see some guides there. But this is going to be an important time for us. Now, Paul goes on, and he says, I keep asking the God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through spiritual wisdom and understanding. And here's the thing. God comes through the Spirit, and then he invites us into his word. All right? Now, this is really important. Now, here's my story. When I was growing up, right, I played sports after for each of the seasons, so I was always at school afterwards. I couldn't drive. I'd always be hoping mom's going to pick me up right at the right time. And unfortunately, I knew what it looked like for my mom to come, because it looked like a 1984 brown, three rows of seats Ford station wagon. I knew when I saw the station wagon pull into the student parking lot, mom was here to pick me up, okay? Anybody ever ride in one of those bad boys in the back seat where you're looking at the people right behind you? All right, yeah, that's what I did, okay? We called it the station dragon. I mean, it was huge. Okay, it was a station. When I saw the station dragon pull into the parking lot, I knew mom was here. Or dad was there, right? I knew what to expect. Now, I got to confess to you, as a high school student trying to impress the ladies, stepping into the station dragon was not my ideal setting, all right? Wasn't exactly what the world probably thought was impressive. But it was going to pick me up and bring me where I belonged, okay? A lot of the world doesn't care for this thing right here. Not impressed by it. Doesn't think anything good of it. I'm telling you what. This is how God picks you up. He invites you into this. You have to open the door and step on in. Okay? This is where he is. And you and I, we need to be people of his word, because it's the Spirit and the word of God together that create the life of God in us. All right? And so we need to focus on it. I tell you what, it was beautiful after finishing the Bible Project for the whole year. It was great just to choose wherever I wanted to read for a while. I really enjoyed that, right? And I tell you what, first day, God brought me right to this passage. These are the ones I look on with favor. This is God speaking to people. Those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. And God said, Sean, the formula hasn't changed. The formula has not changed. This is, you want my blessing in your life? You want to know me? You want my power, my miracles, my working? Look, I'm going to be gracious. I'm going to be merciful. I'm always going to love you. I'd sure like you not just to be loved, but healed. And this is how that works. You got to tremble at my word. You got to care about it. You got to, like, I don't care who else is talking. This is the one person I want to hear from. I don't care what anybody else says. You know, now we could talk about the council of people and God's people. That's great, all right? But it's God's word. It's God's word. And I tell you now, here, you know, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the moving and the miracles. And we got some wonderful testimonies, even if you read the prayer sheets from this past week. But I tell you what, sometimes we get a little caught in the, I need someone to give me a word from the Lord. And the real answer is, no, you need to be someone in the word of the Lord, okay? You'll hear from God plenty, all right? You need to go, someone give you a word. You just be in the word, and you're going to do fine knowing what God is asking of you. And so I want to encourage you to do that. To be in God's word in spirit is to know God's presence and hear him speak to you. And I'm just encouraging you, we're starting a New Testament. Today's the first day out in the foyer with our kind of 15 days of prayer. Someone will help you put the Bible app on your phone and sign you up for the reading. We're only doing one chapter a day. We're going to go through the New Testament. And if you're hungry for God to speak and move in your life and you're wondering where he's at, I'm telling you what, ask God. Just say, God, would you show me, would you meet with me? Come and meet with me as I open up the Word of God. And you're going to love the Bible Project. It will really help. Now, I love this next thing. He says, look, we're praying all this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way. Because here's the deal. God exists as Lord. In other words, when you get in the car, you are not driving. And if you're driving in the car and you think God's with you, you are mistaken. Because God, the only thing he does in the car is drive. He is never the passenger. Because he's God. And I've got to choose to let him do it his way. And so what I want to do is I want to please him. I want to surrender to him. And look what Jesus said. Jesus used some pretty strong language. He said, anyone who loves his son or his daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Man, I think about how much I love my kids. That's pretty challenging right there. All right? And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me, let me drive. I'll tell you where to go. No, God, you're going the wrong way. To get to there, we go here. It's like, no, to get there, I know where you want to go. We got to go here first. Why are we going there? You'll find out. All right? We got to follow him. If we don't, we're not worthy of him. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So if I want to be the best parent I can be, I've got to love God more than I love them, because then the right life will be flowing through me to them. And everything I really want to give them, everything that's true and good, and get this word, eternal, God will do through me as I love him first and foremost. And so that's why during these 15 days of prayer and fasting, we take some time to fast. We fast, we put away the world some to feast on his word. We lose some of the things that we feel like bring us life. Like, that's how I unwind, that's how I escape, that's how I relax. We lose some of those things for 15 days to discover that there's a God of peace that can provide it more than those things can, all right? And so I want to encourage you. I know it's tempting, like, oh, that's great, prayer, Okay, like, no, it's prayer and fasting, all right? And all of us should find a place. Now, you'll notice on the back of your bulletin that it's got some information. You don't have to read it all right now. There are different types of fast. If you do anything physically, like with food, beyond just saying no to a few things you really like, please see a doctor, all right, and think through it so you take care of yourself, because God wants you to be okay as you walk through that. But you'll notice the last one is a soul fast, and it's the whole idea that I'm going to take some things from here, and I'm about to offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, okay? Okay, I'm scrolling, ESPN app. I'm literally doing it right now. Right in the playoffs. There it is. It's all shaking. All the icons are shaking right now. Here we go. I worship you, O God. Delete. Come on. Delete. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There we go. And for a little bit, we're just not going to watch that anymore, right? Because, you know, just, that's good. Now, you do what God's calling you to do. But I want to encourage you that you want to take some time over these 15 days. And some of those places that you've built up, this is what calms me down. This is how I escape. This is how I unwind. I want to encourage you to really challenge yourself there and say, you know, there's a God of peace, and I want to make sure I'm not worshiping any of these things to get what only He gives. Let's make sure my worship is there. So you pray, invite God. God, would you reveal yourself to me? God, I'm willing to step into the place you're at that you want to take me. And Lord, I'm willing to say no to some things. And you talk, maybe talk with some family members, things like that. And whatever the Lord says you to do, you do. Because now this is eternal life, to know, to get plugged in, to shine with who He is. I want to encourage you, students. I'm not just talking to the adults in the room, okay? All right, you too. I know that the standard, what is it, 5.4 hours of TV daily that American teenagers watch is pretty important, but maybe God might say something about that or a few other places. I don't know if the word Netflix or Hulu or YouTube is actually in the Bible, but the Bible may be talking about it for you. Okay, last one. God requires faith in His Son, so we worship. This is what the whole series is going to be about. Notice the last verse. For God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of His Son. This is about Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but if I got in the car and if I got in the front seat before Mom went from park to drive, I had to do one thing, and what was it? I had to buckle up, all right? Because Mom was not moving that car unless the seatbelt was on. Because something had to be holding me in. Well, the Bible says, hands down, it's faith in His Son that holds us in God. And so you and I, there's no choice. We've got to have faith in Him. And here's what we're going to unpack over the next few weeks. It always leads to worship. And I don't know how you think of worship. You may think of worship as a synonym for singing. Worship, a synonym for worshiping God, is relating to God. That's how you relate to Him, because He's worthy of all of it. And so we want to rediscover, and we got to get out of the box of how I sing. Although I would encourage you that if you're in church on a Sunday morning and in the middle of worship, you never open your mouth. I'm not saying like you're belting it out. I'm just saying you don't even open your mouth. I'd have a conversation with God about that, because it's part of just humbling yourself, saying, God, I agree with these things. These are true. I'm not just thinking them. I'm saying them. So something to think about. Notice Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of what? Worship. That's what these 15 days are about to be about. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Let's break a few of those patterns over the next 15 days to make sure our eternal life is coming from an eternal source. But be transformed by the renewing of your, that's an interesting word, mind. feed my mind the right thing. All right? So I just want to encourage you on that, that this is what God is doing. What you worship, you become. The Bible says it. We live it out. What you depend on is your destiny. You know, if you ever had like one of those bad dating relationships and you depended on that person, and it just, that was your destiny, that was going to be a disaster because you're dependent on the wrong person, mercy, grace upon all of you, okay? But I'm just saying, like, who you're trusting in is where you're ending up. And then to know Jesus is to worship him. That's what the worship series is going to be about. And I'm going to invite you that every Sunday, we're not looking for a service. We're looking for an encounter with God. We want to know him, not just know about him. And so I just want you to hear this. If we're going to make one resolution in 2019, let's know God. Let's press in to know him. Let's press in because we know him through his Spirit. So let's pray. You got your prayer journal as a help. We come to know, he invites us into his word. I'm telling you, don't believe the lie that you can't get something out of reading the word. That's a lie from the enemy. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He will. We know him through his lordship. And if we invite him in any other form, we're really not knowing him, but a version of who we're making him up to be. Okay? He's Lord. All right? And we know him through his Son. All right? We love, you know, people love to throw God around in general. Nobody wants to talk about Jesus anymore. All right? It's actually, Jesus is the exact representation of God. And nobody knows the Father except through the Son. So it's all about him. And I was thinking about all of this, and in a moment, we're going to have a moment of worship. And I'm just going to invite you as families, holding kids, whatever you're doing, okay? In the next few moments, I want to invite you to really challenge yourself this morning. Say, God, am I knowing you? Right? Am I knowing you? Or do I run by you every so often and tell you what to fix in my life? Do I know you? All right, God, stop just untangling my life. Help it shine. Help it shine. Help it be what you want it to be. And I love the story of the prodigal son. Most of us in this room probably know it. The story of the son who says, I want everything, Father, you've worked to give me, but I don't want to know you anymore. I want to go do my own thing. And the son, after giving everything he's got, discovers he's made a huge mistake. And the story says what? He decides to go back to his father. But did you ever notice that that is not the key to him knowing the father? The key isn't that he tries to find the father. It says that when the wayward son got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, because you and I are never getting to God by ourselves. As best we're going to try, we're still going to be a long way off unless the father sees us and runs to us. God, come and run to me. God, come and speak to me. God, I'm trying to get to you, but I'm still a long way off. And unless you come and run to me, I'm not getting there. And I love it. The Father doesn't just come to him. He connects with him. He puts his arms around him. He kisses him. And the next words of the son is, Father, I'm not even worthy to be your son. Could I just be a servant? And what's the father's response? It's merciful and gracious. It's been beautiful and slow to anger. It's abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. It's amazing, the steadfast love and faithfulness. It's forgiving of so much and never ignoring justice in the middle of it all. Because that's the cross of Jesus Christ. That's where God ran to us. And so I want to encourage you as we begin these 15 days of prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you to hear the voice of the Father saying, I am coming to you. Will you receive me? And doesn't it even come out of my lips and sound wrong? Because why should the God of all the universe be trying to ask permission to come in my life? That's not even right. If anything, I should be face down on the floor, groveling, saying, Creator of the universe, will you even pay attention to me? But that's not who God is. That's not who he is. And if you will know him, your formula and strategy to fix everything in your life will radically change. Radically change this morning. And so I'm going to invite you with these moments. We got a little time. I'm going to invite you. Would you stand? And I'm going to say a prayer to invite the Holy Spirit in. We've just heard his word. Okay? I'm going to ask the elders and their spouses, if they're coming. I'm going to invite them to come to the side. I would like nobody in front of the stairs. Because I think, just like Marie did, and Marie, I so appreciate your sensitivity to spirit during worship this morning. There's some of us who are just supposed to come up to this altar and kneel. And just say, God, I don't. Some of us need a moment to meet with God and to help us start. And you might want someone to pray with you. So, Pat, if we could not have anybody in front of the stairs. And so whether you want to be right where you are or whether you want to come up front, that's up to you. But we didn't come this morning to have a service. We came to meet with God. So, Lord, we have heard your word. And I ask now that your Holy Spirit would speak to every person of every age, in every situation. And, Lord, we ask you to reveal yourself to us. And we understand that when you come, you're going to be what this word says. And we understand when you come, you're going to be Lord and we're not going to be. And we understand that when you come, you're coming through the work and the person of Jesus into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we worship you and take time to meet with you now. Lord, we may be inclined to think about other people who need this right now, things we should say to somebody else, but Lord, we are setting aside this time to hear from you and let you come and absolutely connect and light up our lives, no matter what darkness is in our lives. Holy Spirit, would you have your way now? We worship you, the only source of eternal life, the only one who forgives, truly forgives, the only one who has abounding, steadfast love, grace, and faithfulness. And we are humbled that you are willing to run to us. And we receive it now as we worship. Pastor Brian's going to lead us. Would you just allow your heart to be focused on the presence of God this morning?